friend, a very close friend of mine, who is considering getting married.
Okay.
And they're both Catholic.
Okay.
And not particularly practicing that strongly, their faith. But she has tendencies to
berate him.
I would call it nagging or this or that.
And even when he asks her to stop?
The other, he doesn't ask her to stop.
He doesn't?
No, he makes excuses for it. So,
oh.
For instance, you know, I was there one day in the morning, and she had just woken up, and there's a stairwell leading up to their door. So okay. I was on the stairs, down the stairs, and I'm sure she wasn't aware that I was there, and the door cracked open a little bit, and she's like, this dog is driving me crazy. You take this. You go take this dog for a walk. Blah, 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 blah. And I just go,
wow.
Dude.
Yeah,
go,
right.
This is now.
And that's before the marriage.
It's only going to get worse. Oh, you know, she just woke up, and, you know, she just woke up a little cranky, and she's the sweetest thing, and this and that.
Wait.
I said, listen. You know, Liz and I have been married 5 years now. She would never,
ever,
ever even think about talking to me in that kind of a tone ever.
Right.
Under no circumstance. No circumstance whatsoever. When Liz is angry, and, you know, women get angry.
Yes.
Hey, we tick each other off. You know, that happens. But right. She just goes silent.
Yes. Yes.
And she goes silent. And she told me, too. She said, you know, even though I'm silent, just keep talking to me. You know, keep talking to me and just draw me back out.
Yep.
Okay, I'll go through it and it'll be over with.
Man. See,
but
and that's...
she would never, ever consider talking to me in that such a fashion.
Right.
And I said, man.
Yes.
This is gonna get worse.
So many American women.
It's gonna get worse.
American women are like that because they're taught by the Oprahs. Mm-hmm. And the other shows and all this secular stuff that mm-hmm. you can stand up for your rights and all that kind of stuff. And I often ask people, why do you think that woman, Oprah, doesn't have a man?
Mm-hmm.
Because no real man would put up with anything. I don't care how much money she has.
That just reminds me of another woman that I work with. And she has tremendous qualities. She can be the most hilarious person you've ever heard in your life. Just make you bust a gut laughing. She's so sharp and so hilarious. She can make you so angry that you want to throw stones at her. She can do that all within like 30 seconds.
Yep.
She's a wonderful, extremely bright gal with a tremendous amount to offer.
Yes.
And she'll basically never get married. I never see that happening.
Wow.
Because there's kind of an impossibility. She doesn't respect wimpy men. I mean, men have to be intelligent. They have to be sharp. They have to be as sharp as she is.
Right.
Whatever. Or she has absolutely no respect for them.
Right.
But anybody who fits that criteria would never put up with her crap, if you don't mind my using the term,
saying,
so that it's an impossibility for her to actually ever end up with anybody, because anybody who would put up with her stuff, she would have no respect for, and so she wouldn't be interested in that person.
So, in a sense, you're saying that she's...
It's a catch-22 with her. It really is.
Mm, yeah.
Wow, Bob. Because I'm the kind of man that would never... ever even consider speaking with a woman that would berate me in any kind of way like that.
Right.
I wouldn't even give her a ride to the bus stop.
Right. Right.
I mean,
any man, but she also, you know, she doesn't respect the wimpy man. So she doesn't want a wimpy man that she can push around.
Right.
She wants somebody who will challenge her intellectually. She wants somebody who's basically her equal.
And this is what a woman will look for in a mate. She's looking for someone to tame that.
Right.
Yeah.
And deep down, she's got a very, I mean, she's got an extremely hard shell.
Yes.
And deep down, she's also actually a very tender person who, you know what I mean?
Yes.
And because she has a very, very kind heart. She really comes off as this tough, tough gal.
Right.
That, you know, is heartless.
Right.
Is the way she comes across as.
Oh, that's amazing.
And then when,
amazing.
You know, when some situation comes up, there's a tremendous amount of, you know, tremendous amount of compassion there. It's one of the most interesting persons that I know, but
it's amazing to see that dynamic in people where they,
yeah,
when they come across that way.
Buddy, that will fit the criteria. That's gonna,
right.
And it's a shame because she's really a neat, neat person that has so much to offer. But so she's very frustrated.
That's, and you know what? There's a lot of people frustrated out there, and that's why, you know, I think that the thing that we have to do, verse 12 sequence says to live righteously, put plainly, we are to do what's right. That's all we have to do. We have to do what's right. I have my notes in business, in relationships, in home life, in school, towards government, towards God. We have to do right.
Do the right thing.
Do the right thing. That's all we have.
That's
easy,
that's
isn't
simple.
It?
Yes.
Do the right thing.
Isn't that simple? Just do the right thing.
Do the right thing.
Just do the right thing. You know, your husband comes in and you're angry with him. Just say, baby, you know what? I had a difficult day too. Can you ease up? And guys, you should listen to her and ease up. Okay, she asked nicely.
Bang a car in a parking lot? Should I leave a note? Or should I leave a blank note so that people, if anybody's looking, they think I put a note there?
Oh, my goodness. Oh, man. That's,
or do you bite the bullet and know that your insurance is going to go up and know that the person's going to be ticked off and this and that? But, you know, do you do the right
thing?
A blank
note. I never thought about that. Man. That's,
are you going to do the right thing?
Yeah, I'm to act responsible. As an individual in all areas of my life, I am not to allow any member of my family to be involved or placed in the company of anything that will bring spiritual harm to them. I am also to live by the standards that God has prescribed for the rest of my days. If you're a Christian, this is the way you live. This is how you set the limits. You have to think about these things. In other words, it is virtually impossible for the unregenerate person to live in this mode. So if you are not saved, I don't expect you to live like this. Yeah. I expect you to go off, cuss out your wife, and cheat on her, and do everything else.
Stay wild and be wild.
Yeah. Pretentious acts only give way to the heart within that person. In other words, you can pretend for only so long.
But the true you is going to come out. It's going to react to something, and whatever you are is going to come out of your mouth.
True blue you will shine through every I don't care how you look at it. A faint, I hope I got this right, a saint has to be nurtured in the Word of God, and then he becomes a catalyst. You see, you don't get like this, Bob, unless you see other people living like that in front of you, and then you become a catalyst for other Christians. There's where, when you have respect for a person in spiritual leadership that lives like that. You know, I even try to caution some of my students when they're talking out. There's one young man in particular, I really like this kid, and he just speaks without thinking. And I kind of say, just wait a minute. Because I don't want the other students laughing at him. He has a lot of energy, but he doesn't think about what he's going to do. This is what God expects of us, okay? Not to badger somebody down with our self-righteous life, but to give them the benefit of the doubt. We're going to speed this up because my friend here has another appointment that he has to get to. Let's talk about the benefit of setting these boundaries, because if we don't set the boundaries, we won't understand the benefit, okay? When we establish these biblical standards, we come to know who we are. Do you guys think that most people in church know who they really are?
No.
Oh, that's okay. Yeah, there's a phone call. So,
okay. I'll call it back.
Alrighty.
I'll call it back later. That's fine. Again, to go back to the analogy of a kid that lives within boundaries versus the kid that his parents
don't
have
set
no
them.
Boundaries for.
Yes.
And how do those kids end up in life? They end up messed up on drugs. They end up, you know, just disasters. And it's the kids who were disciplined by their parents, and the kids obviously want to rebel against the discipline,
yeah,
especially a strict disciplinarian. But those are the kids that end up excelling because their parents knew what was right for them and what was right for them in the long run. And that if you are disciplined to do your homework, and you must do all of your homework and have it all done before you can play, and you must do chores, you must help out around the house, you have responsibilities, all of those things shape a child. And they shape that child to achieve and succeed. And the parents were strict. And when the child grows up, he learns and he appreciates, this is why this was happening. I felt like, gee, my friends get to do this. My friends can stay up till 10 at night. They can, you know, then they're wiped out in school and they don't get any good grades because they're up all night watching TV and they don't have a set bedtime. And they, you know, all of this stuff. They have bad habits, so then they never succeed in college because they've never gotten good habits.
Right.
And, you know, all of that kind of thing. And so, so basically, they have, the parents knew what was right for the child because the parent understood the big picture. Similarly,
yes,
God is so much more infinite than our parents.
Right.
He knows that we're going to destroy ourselves.
Yeah, true.
With, left to our own means, we're going to completely destroy ourselves. And so if he sets the boundaries, and if we submit to those boundaries, then we both realize that that is going to be for our good.
And that is submitting to an authority other than yourself. Mark, you were going to add something?
I know a woman who is starting to go through that with her young daughters, teaching them discipline when it comes to how they conduct themselves, who their friends are, the kind of TV shows that they watch. And especially now when it comes to boys coming around, mm-hmm. And what the norm is for children now is the first kiss is the equivalent of oral sex. So she's having to fight that battle to teach them that's not how you show a boy that you like him. That's not, you don't do that kind of stuff. And she's having to deal with that and set the boundaries and talk about and say the exact words to her daughters. And the daughters say, oh, mommy, you're nasty. She goes, no. It's better you hear this from me
than
hear from somewhere else. Mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you exactly what's going to happen,
yes,
if you do this,
yes,
and what's going to happen,
yes,
and get ready for the consequence.
Yes.
So that's the, when the boundaries are set, the kid will know their limit. So at that point, if they have the kind of parents who back it up, they know what's going to happen when they go past the limit.
Now, let me go back to the first thing that I said at the beginning of the presentation. Two young men, 5 and 3, burned to death. Wouldn't it have been great if their mom and the other guardian had disciplined them about playing with matches? Wouldn't it have been great if the boys picked up a book of matches and the mom was watching and then came and chastised him and said, no, this can burn you, this can hurt you, this can kill you? But no, because these youngsters are allowed to grow up like wild weeds. I can see it now. Mom and her, somebody else, the other adult, leaves the house, left the two children there. The children see matches because mom is smoking with her buddies and everything, and they're just lighting the matches, playing with each other, and all of a sudden something flames up. What is a 3-year-old and a 5-year-old going to do? They're going to get in the corner of the room and watch it.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know what to do.
Right.
They're watching that. They expect an adult to come. But no, the adult left them in the house, locked in there. And then the neighbors see smoke pouring out of the house and hear the two young boys screaming, screaming. And one neighbor said that he thought that it was a television program on. He said it didn't sound real. But then when the lady said there's two children in the house and the neighbor tried to break down the door, nothing but flames and smoke came out. Now, I would hope that they prosecute those parents to the fullest degree, because if you're going to be a parent, you're supposed to take the responsibility and teach that child something. Mm-hmm. Just like I taught my dog. You didn't see my dog come back in here, did you? See what I mean? Right. Because that dog knows what he's going to get. But we frightened them and told the parent that they can't chastise their children,
right,
that they can't touch them. This is insanity.
Right. And boy, for instance, I mean, with those three-year-old, with a three-year-old playing with matches, you know, you see him play with the match or the lighter one time, and you give him a good whooping.
Yes.
They don't want to get anywhere near matches again.
Absolutely.
You show them matches and they want to turn away and go away.
Absolutely.
And so that's, you know, simple conditioning and simple training that parents are supposed to do. And as you said, now the society has said you can't touch that child. But then when they burn down the apartment building, they're going to make you the responsible person for burning down the apartment building, even though they also told you you couldn't spank the child.
Yeah, that's ridiculous, man. It's ridiculous. But
yeah, talk to them. You can talk them out of it.
Yeah, but the caliber of parent for those two boys were right. Some sick individuals that should never
only
be allowed
concerned
to.
About food, you know, stamps.
Man, isn't that something? I hope my food stamps didn't burn up. Wait a minute. You got two dead babies.
Right.
And you're talking about something free for you. You shiftless, lazy bum.
Wow.
Man, it is the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen. I'll show you guys right after the webcast. Mm. We'll be through in a couple of minutes. I want you to see it so you can just look at this and say, this is pathetic.
Wow.
And the neighbors around it, man, well, let me leave that alone. When we establish standards, we have more time for ourselves and not less, because now we can say no with confidence. Our boundaries are fixed. Mm-hmm. But if you don't set those standards, you find yourself wigging out half the time. When you establish these standards or these boundaries, our children, our families can feel secure. Mm-hmm. Not like these two young boys that had to die today.
And that's, once again, also the structure. Boy, I mean, yeah. So many things you're asking, what's happened to our society? What got us here? Well, number one, women's lib got us here.
Please.
Again,
yeah.
The rebellion against God's set standards.
Yes.
And so that's all it is rebellion against God. That's what women's lib is.
Rebellion against authority. Rebellion against someone that'll tell you, no, you can't do that.
Then the next step.
All right.
Was a few people, they started demanding equality in the workplace. And then a few people said, hey, we can get ahead of the Joneses. We're just going to have both of us work. We're going to have two incomes, and we're going to buy a house twice as big as our Jones neighbors.
Man, you got it.
And so then that shifted from a few people doing that to that becoming the norm.
Everybody,
so now, because that
it.
Has become the norm,
right?
Then everything has just escalated. The housing prices have escalated. And so now you've got two people working to live in the same style and size of house that yes. It used to be one breadwinner could work,
right,
and mom could stay home.
Right.
There was somebody on the radio yesterday that was talking about that she's working part-time because when she works full-time, she actually loses money because she has to pay daycare for the kids working full-time. So that's the other thing that's happened. We've got the two income earners. They've abandoned the house. They've abandoned having a set mother there.
Right.
Now they've got different daycare people that come and go and move and get somebody else and whatever. And so all of a sudden the kid is brought up in a structureless environment, and the parents, they feel guilty when they finally come home to the kids. So all they do is show them love. They don't want to show them discipline because they want the kids to love them, and they feel guilty because of the fact they leave them home all day in some hands of other people. I mean, I've got a lot of doctor friends, and their kids, these are white people.
Oh, I'm going to
And their kids' first words are Spanish.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because the nanny is the one teaching.
Right,
them.
Right.
And the kids are bilingual.
I was talking with Greg.
With their first language being Spanish.
I was talking with Greg today, a friend of mine, and he told me that the guy where he took his car is a Chinese gentleman that owns a shop. And the Chinese gentleman was saying, man, what are you going to do with these kids? Chinese gentleman, well off, has had a garage business for years. And he said, my son is 19 years old, young Chinese boy. He says he won't get a job. He won't work. All he does is smoke pot, stay at home, stay in bed looking at TV all day and smoke pot. And this Chinese guy says, I've given him everything. Mm-hmm. And that's the problem. I've given him everything. And
right.
Life is easy for him. And all he does is smoke pot. Yeah. And he won't get a job. And he won't work. I've tried to tell him to do this and that. And Greg says, the guy says, I can't do anything with him. And you know me.
Mm-hmm.
My old mantra is put his A out. Put him
right.
out.
That's right. Out of the house.
Put him out. Out of the house. Put him out.
Yep.
In a minute. And I bet, you know, Chuck E. Chinese will get up and start working at Chuck E. Cheese or something.
Man, this is typical of the, again, I had a very structured household with a very authoritarian father and a mother, stay-at-home mom, and very structured, stable environment. You know, there was no divorce in the family. There was no turmoil there. We always knew mom would be home when we got home, and, you know, we never even thought about it,
yeah,
of the situations that other people have. But even when I was in college and I told my dad, hey, I'm legal age, you know, I'm thinking about smoking. And I was already smoking some.
Yeah.
And he says, well, tell you what, son. My dad was a smoker. He says, tell you what, son. He goes, I know I smoke and I'm not a good example. He goes, but I don't want you to do it. He goes, just because, you know, he says, basically, I'm going to make sure you don't, until hopefully you're old enough to have enough sense not to.
Right.
He said, you're in my house. He says, someday you're going to screw up. Somebody's going to see you with a cigarette. You're going to have cigarettes in your pocket. You're right. Going to have matches in your pocket. I'm going to smell it on you, whatever.
Right.
And as soon as you do that, you're out. Out right. of the house.
Right.
Doesn't matter that you're of age. You are living in my house. He's and as long as figure. You live here,
right.
you live under my rules. And I don't care if you're 30 years old.
Yeah. He's the authority figure, and he will always be that. And he was letting you know that just because you are a grown man, no, you have to abide by those rules.
Exactly.
And that is the way.
And that was structure.
Yes.
And again, in a similar model of God, he's saying, I know what's better for you.
Yes.
You're too young and stupid to know what's better for you, so I'm laying down these rules, and I'm going to chastise you if you break them.
We got to keep talking like that, Bob, because if we don't do that, the youngsters that are out there will never hear the complete side of the story. Because what they're picking up from the other folk is that you're free to do whatever you want to do
right.
at any time.
Yeah, right.
So what we have to do is we have to continuously come against it. It's been an hour and 5 minutes, guys. Closing thoughts on this, I'll just end up and say this. When we have boundaries, sinners will develop hope, because people
right.
need to see others that have found how to do life successfully. We're supposed to be the role models for people out there.
Right.
And a vital part of our being witnesses is found in how well we live.
Yeah.
See, man, how well we live. When the financial crunch hits us,
right.
it's how we respond to it.
Right.
And how we respond to everything instead of seeing the police come by our house and take us away in shackles and handcuffs.
Well, and if everything is biblical, we probably shouldn't be in a financial crunch. If we're right. overextended in debt and we're living above our means and all of those things and we're doing everything the world does, you know, the Christian living within their means
Man.
And abiding by biblical principles shouldn't be having the crisis. I'm not saying that I am immune and I'm perfect in that respect.
Right.
I am not. But I'm just saying that would then be an example to other people, to an excellent example.
Excellent.
And so much more of our witness is based upon how we live in front of others, that we do it differently. So we should be doing it differently, and they should see the benefits. I'm going to summarize what I think the whole
okay.
cause is. The whole cause, again, is a rebellion against God, and the world's mocking God. You know, they mock you as old-fashioned if you think that a husband should be, you know, have authority over his wife, that you should rule the household, that you should be the breadwinner and the wife should be a homemaker, that you know, they're going to mock you and ridicule you, but look how their way is working compared to how God's way works.
One thing that I can say is that not one woman has contacted me about this series and told me that I was wrong. Yet, not one woman has contacted me even on the YouTube clips and told me that I was right.
That it was a great thing.
And see, and yeah. So I don't
right.
get,
right.
I mean, I'm kind of like in limbo. Right. I don't know what's happening with that.
Right.
But it's going to be interesting as I research that. Well, guys, it has been a great time tonight. I want to thank you guys for showing up. And for those of you that's been asking for Dr. Klink to spend more time on the shows, just keep sending those emails. I'll run them out his way. And so that he can join Mark Ramsey and I.
Try to be here as much as I can.
That's right.
Bob is a busy guy. He cuts on folk. But in a nice way. In a nice way. God bless you folk for tuning in. Whatever you do, we want you
to be kind.
We ask you to stay
into the word.
God bless you. Good night now, folks.